Amen. Please be seated. He married her when times were tough and life was hard. But they were young and no doubt filled with the kind of hopefulness embodied by many young couples. They started a family, were blessed with two little boys, and they began to grow up in an area that the extended family had lived in for generations, and no doubt they had expectations to see their grandchildren grow up in that same village someday. And then a tough but probably happy life got worse. Depression, tough. Shortage of food, tough. And so the man did the only thing he knew to do, and that was to move the family to a place where there was a prospect for a better life, at least an opportunity to put food on the table every night. But it wasn't home. It was a foreign place. And even so, sometimes you simply do what you have to do to provide for your family, especially when times are tough. And then sadly, it got even worse. They had left their home just to survive. But he didn't. The man died in a foreign place, leaving behind a widow and two young sons who would grow up without their father. But the mom was strong, and she too did what needed to be done and raised those boys, and they grew up and fell in love and they married. And for a decade, it must have felt again that the house was full. Even a foreign land can start to feel like home. That was true for Mary and me when we lived in Russia years ago. And then tragically, it got even worse again. Both of her beloved sons, just like their father before them, died before her eyes. Maybe it was genetic. Certainly, it was catastrophic. Naomi was left in a world not her own, with no source of income and no source of protection, only grief, and two daughters-in-law now just as vulnerable as she. Once again, Naomi, in her sorrow, did what she had to do. She packed her bags, few as they probably were, to set off for a place she still thought of as home. She would retrace the journey she had made on foot with her husband when the boys were young. Now they were gone. But there were relatives who might have compassion back home. She heard at least that there was food to be had. But she knew that the journey had to be alone. And so then came the horribly painful decision to separate from the young women who had joined her family in happier times. They loved her like daughters. They cried at the thought of losing her, and they promised to go with her. And yet, through her own pain, she insisted on a course that she thought best, not for herself, but for them. May the Lord grant you rest in the home of another husband, she said. Stay in your country. Marry in a familiar place. Begin your life again. It must have seemed only sensible. But Ruth would not be persuaded. She clung to Naomi. Have you ever had anyone cling to you? I don't want sensible, she seems to say. I want assurance. Assurance that we will stay together. Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. Ruth did not know her future, but she knew the source of her assurance, and she clung to it. And even though it must have seemed crazy to Naomi, nevertheless, she relented. And so the two women journeyed together until they came to the place that Naomi knew well, a place that we know well ourselves, a place called Bethlehem. Eventually, Ruth was again grafted into the family of Naomi. She would become the grandmother of a man named Jesse, among whose sons was David, the great king. And generations later, this same family would include a man named Joseph, among whose sons was Jesus. So why is this story in Scripture? There are other generations in the lineage of Jesus. There surely must be other stories of tragedy and triumph. It's broadly understood that the story of Ruth is included in the canon of Scripture because it shows us how God uses often unlikely people, people from all backgrounds, people who were not among the chosen, to fulfill his plan of bringing salvation into the world through a man with relatives and a family history. And that is true of the story of Ruth, a woman foreign to the people of Israel, but grafted in to be a part of God's plan. In this extraordinary account is also for us a model of life, especially of life when times are especially tough. Many of us have faced periods in our lives, in fact, probably all of us, some shorter, some longer, when we might be tempted to say with Naomi, "The hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Times when the happiness of a full house may seem like a fleeting memory. Times when the joyful celebrations of new babies, graduations, and weddings are replaced with the sorrow of illness, layoff, conflict, even death. Surely that is true this day in the communities of Fort Dodge and Sheboygan, many other places. I recall one Christmas in my family when I was a boy. My father had flown to Germany suddenly to bury his sister, barely in her 40s, who left behind a husband and young daughter. And he arrived back home a few days later only to stand with the rest of the family on Christmas Eve in a funeral home, as we prepare to bury another young woman, a dear family friend, who left behind children about our age with whom we wept. And so we look at Ruth, and it ought to cause us to ask, to whom do we cling for assurance? When sorrow and trouble seems to find us at every turn, when our future seems so unclear and uncertain, to whom do we cling? And I mean with the passion of Ruth, prepared to say, "I will go wherever you take me." Naomi took Ruth to Bethlehem. And in Bethlehem, our Lord took Ruth into his mysterious, amazing plan to bring salvation to the world. And that is why the story of Ruth is so beautiful in the face of sorrow and difficulty. For we can see how real and certain assurance that Ruth sought so earnestly in her mother-in-law was not to be found in Naomi. Instead, it was to be found in the God of her mother-in-law. Ruth had no idea how true her words would become. "Your God will be my God." Indeed, she was correct. God provided a new husband for her. That's all she knew. And that was enough. We know Now God incorporated her into his greater plan. We know how God provided her a savior, one from her own family. And here is where we find our assurance as well. For God leads us back to Bethlehem. He shows us how his plan took form in this world in a baby. He shows us how the child grew up and took on all of the burdens, the sorrows, the sins and failures of our own personal lives and all of those of the whole world. It is not a story without tragedy. There is awful, unimaginable, unbearable tragedy in the midst of crucifixion. And yet, through the very worst suffering that humanity could inflict against one of its own, there is still this plan unfolding, finding fulfillment in suffering and sacrifice. And through the same pages of Holy Scripture, God shows us the beautiful ending of a story, a resurrection ending, a victorious return awaited. For there is no greater assurance that God has a plan for each one of us than we see in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. While we are not married into the family tree of Ruth, we are most certainly baptized into it. Our future of uncertainty is replaced with one of hope and eternal certainty. Now, to be sure, trouble in this life still comes. The sorrows we experience are real. But we cling to the certain assurance of Jesus and saying, like Ruth to Naomi, "Where you lead, O Lord, I will follow. Your Father in heaven shall be my Father in heaven. Your grace, mercy, and peace poured out for the whole world shall be my grace, mercy, and peace received through your word, your promises, and your gifts." May we hear the word of our Lord as spoken to St. Paul when Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, cling to him. Be in his word. Let it be a part of your everyday. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let God's promise and assurance just cover you. Be in prayer every day. As the psalmist declares, "May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." For if God is your rock, you are on a firm foundation. And if he is your redeemer, then you truly have nothing to fear. Be in his house here, week after week. Let the word of God echo again in your ears as you hear it read and proclaimed. Let it reverberate from your voice as you sing in prayer and praise. Be assured of the grace of God that was poured out upon you in abundance at your baptism. And let it pour into you time and again as we receive at this altar his body and blood. In a foreign land, as missionaries many years ago, Mary and I first encountered these words of prayer. And may they be upon all of our hearts as we journey with him. Would you stand to pray? Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We join together in confessing our faith using the Nicene Creed found in the back cover of our hymnal and up on the screen. I believe in one God, Father Almighty,